Christian Parenting.
Welcome to the Living Wholehearted Podcast. We are Jeff and Tara Mattson, a husband and wife team who is shrinking the integrity gap in our own lives and helping others do the same. I'm a leadership and organizational development coach, and Tara is a licensed marriage and family therapist.
We believe that if you have a following, you are a leader, and how you lead matters. Whether you are leading in the home, work, or community, we are bringing you biblical, clinical, and relational wisdom to help you in every relationship that matters most to you. None of us do this perfectly, but we are leaning into the reality of our humanity and profound wisdom of grace.
Happy New Year.
It's 2024 and the first episode of the year. We are now on YouTube. You can check us out and even look at our matching, non-matching plaid shirts this morning as we didn't prepare for collaborating.
Yes, it's a...
You love matching.
It's a clash.
It's a clash, but that's okay. Today we're going to talk about how to actually pace yourself for the year. So many people, if not everyone, longs for peace. And part of having peace is learning how to pace yourself. There's a lot of problems that run interference with that. So we're going to talk a lot about what are the things that run interference and then how to set ourselves up so we can finish the year well.
You know, we work with leaders. If you have a following, you're a leader. So if that's your parenting, you're leading. And of course, if you're in business or in organizational settings and you've got a lot of people that are following you, if you will, mm-hmm. you're leading. The more people that you have following you, the more complicated this gets, and probably the less peace you may be experiencing in your journeys. Leaders generally are achievers. We're a couple recovering overachievers ourselves, and there's always something to do, something that needs to be done, something that that we missed, and that we would have wanted to do it better, and this infringes on our peace.
Yeah, and I crack up because it's 2024, and it wasn't till 4 years ago when we had this pandemic that everybody realized the world went halted, and people were like, "Wow, I'm forced to rest, we're forced to be together and have time." And you know what? We're never going to go back to that grind of always doing. And I think as soon as everything opened up, sports opened up, and churches opened up, and businesses opened up, we all went right back to the rat race.
Well, it was a tendency, that's for sure. There are some people that I really appreciate their stories, hearing how they've kind of saved some of that.
Oh, really? I know no one that has actually been like, I still live a life like I did during COVID.
It's a challenge, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. The number one thing that we hear in our offices on the counseling side of things, Jeff, is the anxiety. I think, you know, depression ends up being a lot of times when anxiety is on overdrive and the body is shutting down. And then we go into like flatline. It's when we haven't been listening for a while and things are going kind of into monotone. But anxiety is like this undercurrent drive that is impacting everyone, whether it's a high capacity leader or the 15-year-old who's trying to just make it through high school, or the little 9-year-old that is feeling the pressure of going to dance class and then piano class and then trying to please their teacher. Anxiety is everywhere. And it's kind of this undercurrent that drives us to keep going and to keep going. So that's one of the problems that we're seeing. And the antidote to that oftentimes is pulling back and starting to reassess, why are we doing all of what we're doing? And do we really need to be doing that? So I kind of want to start there with this undercurrent message that busyness and productivity is actually our value system and how we prove who we are and that we're good enough when we've got a busy schedule. I think none of us would say as believers or as even as leaders that that's a value that's true. And yet we often live like that.
So what I'm hearing you say is that there is an element that's positive about anxiety and that it can move us forward mm-hmm. and if we respond to it in a healthy way, but we're really talking about what's more common to mankind, the anxiety that infringes on our ability to have peace and forces us to get help and to negotiate with better structures that are healthy in place to help us to manage that in the right way and to channel that anxiety in the right space. But we just it's easy to feel overwhelmed. And you described several scenarios of where that happens in our lives.
Yeah. You know, there's a older psychologist who used to always talk about, is Dr. Kevin Lehman. He always talked about how we have our kids on a rat race, like they're hamsters on the hamster wheel.
Okay.
And how children need to learn to be bored.
Uh-huh.
And we've really lost that. I think as a general culture, Western culture, we have a hard time being bored. And if we're bored, we fill it with dopamine addictions from our smartphones and Facebook and social media, all the way to movies and some poor maladaptive coping strategies. And so really, we've lost the art of learning how to have white space or nothingness in between all of the productivity and the things on our to-do list, which adds to the anxiety. So that's what we want to talk about today, is how do you actually pace yourself so that you have these places of rest and even boredom in between all of the to-dos.
I was talking with guys that I'm in a Bible study with. We're in our 40s. I'm 47. We were all talking together about what it was like growing up as kids and having that kind of white space and that boredom, right? Mm-hmm. Pre-smartphones, and how it is challenging in our own families right now with many of us teenagers to negotiate and help them to have that kind of experience as well. I mean, it's never going to be a... smartphones and technology aren't going away, but how can you, of course, not let it use you, but you be in charge of using it and find that white space, right? So the question came up with the guys. It was like, hey, who built forts? You know, and we had everybody's hand went up, and inside forts and outside forts and permanent forts and temporary forts. And it was just kind of a fun moment to remember how we had the benefit of that and the importance of trying to help our kids experience some of that space where it's just white space, it's margin, it's play, it's even boredom. What are we going to do right now?
Yeah.
You know, what do we want to do right now? And have options and try to use imagination and creation.
Well, there's so much going on in our neurobiology with that white space. One, it's recovery, so that we're sharper when we're actually engaging and doing something. It's also a time where creativity happens. Actually, when you're talking about building the forts and having the space and the margin, it's true for leaders to be able to have the space and the margin to actually breathe and to think outside the box instead of going from the list of to-dos and the next thing on our agenda. It gives us rhythms and room and just this place of creativity. And also the fact that I will say long-term, that adults who know how to be okay with white space and margin and boredom actually have healthier relationships. They're able to be more present with the people in front of them. They're also lower addictions going on in those adults. And so when we think long term for 2024, we think, I want to be healthier as an adult, and I want to model that in my home, and I want to raise healthy adult children, we want to think about this being a really a key piece to a healthy 2024, is having more space and margin and pacing ourselves and getting more comfortable with all of that silence.
You said raising adult children. We don't want to raise adult children. We want to launch the children into adulthood. That's what you meant?
Okay, you can reframe that. Yes. I
some of you are raising adult children out there are like, trying to get them launched. We get this. Yes.
We want to raise our children to be adults who are healthy and that, you know, check in with us, but don't need us or aren't codependent on us. Okay. Thanks for reframing that. There's two different CBI wirings right there in the way that we're articulating. So thank you.
That's actually a really good point too, just with the wisdom of the CBI Core Values Index, the tool that we use, so many ways to best see our hardwiring, understanding our impact on each other. But in terms of refreshment, in terms of pacing, in terms of recovery, one of the pieces that comes from the wisdom of that instrument is really understanding that when our buckets are draining in a particular core value, a particular place of who we are, you don't recharge that by staying in it. You got to kind of get some distance from it, right? Shifting to another space, another part of how you're wired to replenish the one that's sort of kind of draining. This is a practical insight into skills that allow us to kind of negotiate. Oh, this is what I need right now. I mean, it's common knowledge in a sense to kind of go, well, I need a break right now. I need a nap right now. But you may need creativity. And a person who's wired like for you in so many ways, as a high innovator, solving problems, there can be too many problems to solve. There's another aspect to that wiring that needs just time to create and to to do some things that are aside from solving problems, mm-hmm. and to take in a new book with a title that isn't required or tied to your work, for example. Mm-hmm. These are outlets that allow us to replenish and mm-hmm. part of the PACE solution.
Solutions, yeah. And the creativity. I mean, innovators are actually the most creative of the entire core values in the way that they think outside the box. What wasn't before, now, you know what, if we put A plus B equals C, now we've got, you know, F. It's kind of out of the box. Innovators are following me. They're like, I love what she's saying. You're like, that made no sense. But anyways, the innovators come outside and say, you know what, we've never done this before, but I think it'll work. And it requires, again, that breathing room. Mm-hmm. So I'm using the word margin and white space. And I just want to define that. And then we'll jump back into the core values. The definition of white space, it's an old school book called Margins. So it's not our idea, but the idea that if you had a old school ruler paper, back in the day when we used to write on paper, has all the lines, there's these margins that are actually around those lines. That is the white space.
I'm seeing the paper in my trapper keeper.
In your trapper keeper. And so that is the white space that's around the lines. And it's where, you know, in life, you're wanting to write on the lines. But if you were like me, I was also writing in the margins and I was filling in my entire paper with all kinds of thoughts and ideas. When somebody, you know, the teacher would give a lecture, I'd write on the line and then I would go over and make my own thoughts. That's filling in the white space. And oftentimes we live our lives like that, where we start in the morning, we cram in our things for us, our me time, we start breakfast, we get in with the kids, we take them off to school, we start first thing, we've got our phones, we've got our meetings, we go straight through all the way till the very end where we crash. And there's not a lot of room or white space in our lives. And so that's the idea for 2024, is to think, how can I start to create a little bit more time where I can be bored, my family could be a little bored in the positive sense, where we can be creative, more present, and have a little more peace in our life.
Let me share a couple quick stories that tie into some things that from clients that I've connected with recently. One of the clients is going through our Wholehearted Leadership cohort, and they've integrated wisdom of time blocking into their schedule. They're in charge of a large private school system. And he was reporting to me just the benefits as I was checking in with him about how this is going, right? In their actual schedule, mm-hmm. integrating blocks of time. He has literally a break where he's not going to read anything that's related to school. He has a small devotional that he uses in that time. He's looking outside the window. He's literally for 15 minutes just totally taking a break and renewing his heart and his mind in those spaces. Mm-hmm. And he's got that every day, right? And I'm like, how's that going? Are you keeping that break time, for example, and other things that are listed in the time blocking section that he's communicated to his employees, and so that they could also know what's going on and when they can respond or when he'll respond. He's loving that. So it's yielding freedom, and he is feeling more freedom in the time blocking space. So this is a kind of an encouraging thing that this actually works to do time blocking in your busy schedules. And it helps organize you as a leader. And then it helps people that respond that are beneath you or around you in your organizational system to be able to know how to fit. And it models. So there's some real wins that are happening there for that client. Another client I was speaking to recently spoke about how he gave me a list of symptoms that he's feeling. And these symptoms tie into what we would consider almost clinical burnout. Mm-hmm. And this hasn't happened yet, but he was describing physical symptoms mm-hmm. that aren't him. And we had to really attune to this and notice these and call them what they were and then resource him to be able to get some practical helps to find some practical relief to those symptoms before his body could shut down. Mm-hmm. And we've been around some people in our journey over the years, worked with leaders who literally get to that space where their bodies shut down because they don't address, they don't address the things that we're talking about here today. So this is real stuff. This is in real time. And you as listeners maybe are experiencing some of these things right now too. And there's hope.
Yeah. So most of us set out goals for the year and we think we're going to accomplish all these things. And so those two clients, you know, are you're describing two skills. One is being intentional with our calendar and actually putting it on our calendar. Hey, this is my no free time. And it sounds like this leader uses free time to stare out the window, to do a Devo.
To calm his brain.
To calm his brain, to go doing. For a walk, yeah. To eat some food. I mean, really, that is something that feels so practical and kind of basic, but I will say most leaders and most of us don't do this. We don't put it on our calendar. Some of us don't even live by calendars. I would say start with living by a calendar. Second, the other practical was paying attention to our bodies. And not just ignoring them. We talk about wholehearted leaders being able to tune into their minds, their bodies, their hearts, their souls. And we call integrity when all of those are coming together in alignment and moving in the same direction. So often we feel compartmentalized and pulled in different directions. Our mind is spinning. Our body is crying out for some food and we're ignoring it. And our emotions are pulling towards the relational angst that's going on. Where our souls are dry. I mean, we're not paying attention. So part of starting your year out and to start it out well so that you can have peace and pace is tuning in here and saying, what do I need? This 5-step exercise is a great way to assess where you're at. And so check in with your mind. Give it a scale from 0 to 5 and be able to say, where am I at? Is it empty? Or am I feeling full and I'm feeling alive and my mind feels really sharp? Move over to your heart and your emotions, then move to your body and then move to your soul. You can even check in with your relationships if you want to say, well, how are my relationships doing?
Those are the 5 things?
Yeah, those are the 5 things. And then being able to kind of move through those and then tune in and keep your goal for 2024 short and sweet. Try not to go after all 5 of those, but maybe pick one area you're going to grow in this year. Most people in America or Western culture go for the body. And we're like, oh, we're going to lose 50 pounds. We're going to eat better. We're going to, you know, we have all these goals around our bodies, but we forget the rest of who we are. And so if you want to go towards your body, that's fine. But start small, start small. So instead of saying, I'm going to run a marathon, I want you to start with like, hey, I'm going to exercise twice a week. Maybe that's the skill I'm going to get in place and have it be a regular rhythm. So instead of running a marathon, you're going to say by the end of 2024, exercise is going to be a regular part of my life. And it's going to be a routine that I do regularly. And you give yourself a few months to work your way in there, putting it on your calendar and saying a couple times a week, I'm going to move my body. You get very specific. And being able to watch yourself build a habit, a new habit, slow and steady over time. And tackling things very specifically around those 5 parts of who we are can be a really healthy way to meet our January goals and to pace ourselves for the year. And rather than bringing more anxiety, we bring more peace.
Yeah, finding ways to memorialize these decisions too, kind of build momentum. So on the running thing, if you're going to do a body deal, I mean, this is one of those things that just kind of helps visually put it in front of you, like literally get a hard calendar and Sharpie an X on the days that you do this. And as you see more X's coming, it gets encouraging. You build momentum in those spaces, right? Finding other ways to memorialize these decisions as you go along, giving yourself some small instant rewards, and it based on your wiring as well in terms of how what does it for you. I know it does it for me to have some small instant rewards as I'm going to keep me motivated, to keep me feeling like I'm making a dent, I'm progressing, I'm growing. That's good for all of us. So whatever that might be, institute some sort of form of memorializing your progress as you go. And some for some, it might be actually sharing with a friend or doing it together. I know that you get a kick out of seeing people that you know on the Peloton, you know, names that you know or that are working out at the same time. Stuff like that's kind of fun for you.
Well, let's talk about that because it really matters on your core values. So we use this assessment, as Jeff said, core values index. You can go to livingwholehearted.com and you go under work with us, take your CBI. You can get a free one right there, or you can pay $49.95 and get your full results. So as we talked about this, if you get a little curious, go directly to our website and you'll be able to take it. And then if we work with you at some point, anyone with our team will have access to it and can do a consultation with you. But the bottom line is this: merchants really are motivated by fun and people and honestly, the emotional reward. And so a merchant, to get to a place where you set a goal and you want to pace yourself, you need two things. You need people along the way. So get some partners, being able to encourage each other, have that accountability, or doing something with people. So if you're going to exercise, we're trying to pick on exercising, but if you're going to exercise, doing it with people or getting to check in with people regularly is a way that merchants do this well and can actually be sustained. But the second thing is we are highly emotional. That is the gift. It's a superpower we bring, but it also can affect whether we want to do something or not. If I feel like doing something, then I'm totally motivated. If I don't feel like it, then it's easy for merchants to be like, I'll try tomorrow. So what you've got to do is really hone into the feeling on the other side of what you're going to get. So you think a little bit past that workout. And how do you feel on the other side? And I'll give my exercise example is I don't work out because I feel like I want to work out. I think about on the other side, the stress relief I feel, the motivation I have in the rest of the day, the clarity of mind, I actually have less anxiety. I feel like a better mom, a better counselor and coach, a better wife. So that's the feeling that I hold on to. And I know that's going to come in a short amount of time. So that's really helpful for merchants. Now, different are builders, and builders are actions and results people. Talk about a couple of things that motivate or help builders to actually reach their goals.
Yeah, builders, male or female, CVI transcends age and gender and culture and all of that. Builders are totally wired to want to just get stuff done. They always have a list. There's lots on the list, and they love knocking stuff off, right? Things that are particularly meaningful, right? Where they can use their energies to make a positive difference. And so it might be projects, and I love working with my hands, and I love being outside. So for me, that's my outlet, and not all builders, that fits the boat for them. But getting things done to make a positive difference for themselves and other people is always on the brain. And the more a person is wired that way, the more that shows up. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, I got to balance my day, how I integrate my week when I look at a week. And builders tend to live more in present rather than the future long term. Innovators definitely are able to kind of think, wow, 10 years in advance and just and are working towards things and changing and shifting things. Builders are generally a little bit more in the present. There's good and bad on both of those things, or pluses or minuses, I should say, not good or bad. In the present, when I look at my week, I'm integrating things that are stimulating kind of these five things that you were talking about, right? But I definitely need to have a balance of getting away from people and getting onto things that are on my list that I need to check off. And there's reward in that. I feel a sense of accomplishment when I look at a given day and I can think, what did I do? What was meaningful? What was practical? And, you know, hopefully what I took off the list, there'll be some new things that need to get onto the list, but what's off is off.
I love it. So being able to check things off the list really brings peace for builders. And pacing themselves, I think builders can't really move to the future until they get what's currently on their plate done. And so remembering that about yourself. So if you've got higher anxiety as a builder, you go, I need room and margin to get some things done. And that's not a bad thing. So when we talk about rest or we talk about margin, being able to build in the margin for somebody who's doing people stuff all day long or solving problems all day long is a beautiful way to bring peace for that builder. So flip that over to our innovators, as we already talked about. But we want to give them a little bit more attention. Builders are innovators are our sages of the community. They kind of are the problem solvers that everybody comes to. Because that is how they're made. They can't help but see the problems and they can't help but come up with solutions. And innovators often have a hard time turning their minds off. So even in the white space, they're thinking all the time. I get in trouble because every movie we watch, I'm connecting dots to all kinds of analogies and connections. And it's really funny because I think my kids and Jeff often are like, can it just be the movie? Like, can we just enjoy this? So if you are an innovator, you understand that everything is connected to everything. So being able to set goals that are long-term, have most innovators have no problems looking out. In fact, we look out and we go, I don't want to do anything today unless it's going to affect the long-term in a positive way. I want the most straight and direct route. And our favorite word is efficiency. So when I think about my year in 2024 and as an innovator, I'm trying to pace myself and with peace, I actually went into my calendar and I blocked off all of Friday and all half day on Thursday. And I already whited it out for my innovation days. And those are the days where I'm going to be able to be creative, whether that's intaking and reading and gathering data, or whether that's connecting dots about bigger picture goals that I have, connecting dots and solving problems for our family, for my clients, for our businesses, or even for more global problems that I tend to try to attune to. But that brings me life. And what happens for innovators when there's not a lot of margin and space to be able to think outside the box, our anxiety goes up and we feel like we're always behind. So I'm intentionally to pace myself and to get through the end of the year. My goal as an innovator is just to simply protect that white space for innovation. That's my only goal. And by the end of the year, I'm going to be able to look and go, did I do it? And whatever comes out of that time, I'm okay with, and I'll trust God with that. But to be able to actually protect that and not schedule on top of it, or to give that time away to all the other to-dos on my list.
Did you want to talk about bankers? We talked about the other three.
I think you can, because yeah. I already did two. You get to do two. One. Okay. Yes. And how would it help bankers with their goals, and who are they, and then how do we help them?
Yeah, so bankers are really our detail people. They're the folks that in the community that really, they take in data and can hold it and recall it like nobody else. And the more a person is wired this way, the more they can do that and the more natural it is for them. And they're also seeing problems and have a critical eye. And that critical eye is actually designed to catch things so that things can be improved towards an excellence in any area of life, right? Many times people misperceive bankers as negative, but because they're bringing the problems that they see and can't help but see. But they're bringing it, and the why is so that it can be fixed, it can be improved. This is a little tricky in terms of pacing, as they think about margin and pacing. One of the things that that bankers can do to find margin and pacing, it actually may be actually turning towards people and connecting to relationships and other relationships that they have within other core values in the community. Bankers might have a tendency to pull away and to just read and analyze and be sort of away, but they have inside a real connection for people. They want to make sure that people have what they need. So pacing for bankers might look like, and they're internally, they may be some of the best at pacing in some respects, because they are wired to conserve energy, wired to conserve resources, and they want to share it with others how to do that better and better. So we can learn a lot from their pacing, but they can also be, the more that they're a banker, the more conservative about the resources that they have. And so it's actually, they're needing the other wiring types to help draw them out and to maybe open up to things like celebrating themselves or a marker or a milestone, and spending maybe a little bit more than maybe they would withhold, for example. And so we need each other. Finding white space is generally not a problem for high bankers. But it's actually integrating more of who they are that might be the challenge for them. And then using relationships like merchants and with builders and innovators to connect to people and to find more balance in that way. So that might be their challenge in that space.
Okay, so you're saying that they're actually the best at pacing themselves because of their natural inclination to want to do things with excellence, which takes time. But you're saying maybe in 2024, in order to bring more peace to that pacing, is to invite others and maybe share some of what resources or excellence that they bring. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, and one example of this is with friends that are bankers is that we've observed, a cool freedom that's come from them. For example, like they never would spend anything on themselves. I mean, you know, and when it would come to going out for an ice cream or coffee, I can think of friends that you have that are like this. Like, it's to see them from where they started when you started
Let's
friendship
have water,
to where they are today, and the freedom that comes from exploring and enjoying things like an ice cream now and then, or even just like a dessert night with their kids or something like this. I mean, it's pretty fun to watch, right?
So to actually receive some of the blessings of all the conservation that you've done. And then I would also say for bankers, some of my clients, my executive clients who are higher bankers, one of the gifts that I've given them this year is to give permission to say, where in your life do you feel like you want to bring more excellence or get more organized because you are like feeling like life is taking its toll? Your kids, you know, you've got four children, they all need you, you've got a job, you're trying to do all the things and you can't make it excellent. That can pull on bankers fears and their anxiety and take away some of their peace. So being able to block out time for the year, that really gives you a chance to organize, to be able to go in and clean out your files on your inbox, to be able, and though it might be natural for a banker, they don't always have the time because of the stage of life or year. So 2024, maybe that's one of your smaller goals, is you set time every week to just be able to clean some things up and to feel a little more organized. And that can speak to anyone in the banker world, but particularly those that don't have a lot of time. Bankers can feel that anxiety because things aren't excellent all the time, or can't be excellent just with the reality of life.
We've got our oldest, who's a junior in high school right now, and she's our high banker in our family. None of us are even close to how that's part of her wiring. And every once in a while, I will find her, and I just found it recently. She's on the floor, and she's pulling books off of her library of bookshelf, the bookshelves. And she is just reorganizing them because she loves to. She's featuring a certain book on a particular stand and shuffling the categories from this side to on the shelf to this side on that shelf. And she just, it helps her feel a sense of peace and pace. And this is an amazing thing to witness.
Yeah. And you know what's intentional that we have worked hard on, because this has been a rhythm for us most of our marriage, if not the last 15 years, is for us to have white space in our family. Mm-hmm. So our daughters, we intentionally don't schedule them with too many activities outside the home so they can have some space and margin to do the things they love to do, whether that's just hanging out, listening to music, being creative, and actually watching a show once in a while. Now, there are parents out there that are like, my kid has too much time. And I'm like, that's a different problem. But we're speaking more to the families that are always on the go, and your kids and family, you all feel disconnected from God and from one another and from yourself. So learning how to pace yourself is think about what's one or two things we can shift this year, and then work on that again and again and again. Because change doesn't happen fast. It doesn't happen in big shifts. It actually happens in small shifts over time and consistency. And depending on our wiring, the bankers and the builders are more consistent in how they do things. The merchants and the innovators are always liking variety and changing. But we can lean into both of those, all four of those wirings, to try to help us make slow and steady shifts in the same direction. And by the end of 2024, you'll see maybe a little bit more peace and a little bit more pace. And then you add on another shift or another change on top of that. And in the next 10 years, we start to see an even greater sense of health and wholeness and margin to actually be able to hold the emergencies, the late nights that come, especially as kids get older or they have higher needs, the stressors that come into life. When we allow for more white space, we have more margin to deal with the harder things that do and will come in life.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And if you're in a hard space right now, you're craving that. That's and that's obvious, right? And if you aren't, you want to have preparatory, I'd say like a good farmer here, tilling soil and preparing for all that's to come in some respects. So there's real wisdom in having rhythms of margin and white space. It helps our brains, which is incredible to think about. As my client reports, that he feels a sense of freedom, just even in committing to and taking this little mind break, if you will. every day at the workspace. There's net value in doing these practical tips. There's all kinds of tools and tips and tricks that are out there. What we're trying to do today is just help you think about the wisdom of integrating kind of our biblical beliefs, our clinical beliefs, and our relational wisdom here in this space. It all works together, and there's practical outcomes of peace and from good pacing.
I love it. Okay, so I do want to address one last myth before we end today. And the myth is that, you know, we can pray for those that are followers of Jesus. There's this idea that if we pray for peace, that God will bring us peace. And he will. But one of the things that I think is so interesting about the scripture is that he's counting on the fact that we're actually talking to him about the things that we're carrying. He's counting on the fact that we're coming to him. Matthew 11, 28 through 29 says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then it goes into, "Learn after me, for my rhythms are gentle." And
my yoke is light.
My yoke is light. And it's this idea that, like, you can't, you know, the yoke from that passage is actually referring to two oxen. And we don't have oxen. We don't live in a time with
this us. This is not an egg yoke.
Yeah. This is about the idea. It's that bar that goes between an older oxen and a younger oxen. And the older oxen...
Over their neck.
Over right? their neck, yeah. yeah. And it links them together so that this younger oxen won't go too fast and won't go too slow, but knows how to pace themselves with this older, wiser oxen who's been around the block and will show them how to actually plow the field and to do it in a way that will pace themselves.
That's right.
And so Matthew 11, it's this beautiful picture. And what I think is interesting is that Jesus was actually talking about all the Pharisaical rules that were coming down on the people, because everybody was thinking at that time, like, we should be doing this and we should be doing that. And you think about our own internal worlds and how often we think we're supposed to be doing all these things. If I don't get my child in the best preschool, they don't have a shot for college. I mean, there's all these shoulds.
Scholarships are out the door. Yeah.
And my child needs to be, I mean, I think about the Disney movies, Jeff. Oh my goodness. These Disney movies stress me out because these kids by age 10, you know, have the whole world figured out. And it's also that they can get into Harvard. And I'm like, not every kid needs to get into Harvard. And I think just this competitive nature of all of us thinking, whether you're at home and serving your family full time, or you are the CEO taking care of an entire Fortune 500 company, and you're trying to juggle all of those things. In all these cases, we have shoulds in our mind of what we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing. And Jesus says, "Come to me, drop all of that. I'm going to show you, keep in pace with me." So I guess at the end of this, I want to remind us that in order to have peace and pace, we can't just pray. We've actually got to spend some time with Jesus, having that yoke on our back with him and feeling the rhythms that he takes, the rhythms of grace that are slow, they're steady, and he's the one that grows the fruit in our life. So when we ask us to give a little bit, our loaves and our fishes, he's going to multiply that. And so step back from all the big goal setting and maybe asking God, what is the smaller things that he's asking you to give him, and work consistently on those things, and then watch him do way more with that than if you had set out to feed 5,000 all by yourself.
And I love that this is an invitation, but into our practical lives. So it's like Jesus, you know, here you have the yoke. I'm yoked to you at home with my children right now. What does that look like? What are you trying to teach me about pace with my kids in this scenario? Jesus, I'm yoked with you at work, in my workplace. What does that look like right now as a leader, as a follower, as a contributor? And with this particular project, what does that look like? What's the pace in our marriage, in our relationships, right? So you can see that this is literally, you're inviting God into, and he's already there, but you're inviting him to say, "I want to learn from you in this, in my real life, where I put my energy, my heart, my mind, and our livelihood is dependent upon it." And this is what he's looking for as we learn to trust him more in that space and walk with him in Galatians 5, staying in step with his spirit. This is what it looks like, and it's integrating, and that's what we're about here at Living Wholehearted.
We're so grateful that you are a part of this journey with us, and that this year we've got some really fun things. So in order to pace ourselves, we did a shift in our podcast, so we won't be weekly. We're moving to every other week. We're hoping to go a little bit deeper and have a little bit longer interviews. And you're going to hear from Jeff and I a little bit more. We're going to invite our Living Wholehearted team to come in. So I hope you subscribe either on our YouTube channel or if wherever you listen to the podcasts. And next time, I'm so excited, we have Josh and Jay Harrell who are going to be talking about their experience in having a digital fast. Yeah. They've got young kids. They own their own businesses, and they really took a huge leap of faith. And I want you to make sure that you check in and listen to that, because I think every single one of us, no matter where we're at with our digital world, can learn from some of the things that they experienced. And then we're moving into February, where we're going to be talking about healthy relationships. We're going to talk about marriage. We're going to talk about friendship. And then throughout the year, we've got very intentional conversations around what it means to be a wholehearted leader at home, at work, and in the community. And so we hope that you'll continue to join us. And if you love what you're hearing, make sure you share us with someone else and leave a review. That is such a huge way for people to find new content and new resources in today's world.
Yes, thank you for doing that. And until next time, be the leader that you would follow.
This podcast is powered by Living Wholehearted, Courageous Girls, and the Christian Parenting Podcast Network. Thank you for joining us in this critical movement of shrinking our integrity gaps between what we preach and live.